Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, the 17th of February. Plenty of news for you today, including details of a Kent teacher who's faced a misconduct panel, Maidstone Council looking at implementing long-term change to tackle violence against women, and we'll look ahead to tonight's Jill's fixture. But first, our top story for today. Two teenagers have been found guilty of manslaughter following the death of a man on a Kent beach. 49-year-old Alexander Cashford was attacked with stones and a bottle in Laysdown last August after meeting up with a teenage girl. A 16-year-old boy had already admitted manslaughter, and another boy and girl have been convicted following a trial. They were all cleared of murder. DCI Neil Kimber from Kent Police spoke to reporter Alex Langridge ahead of yesterday's verdict.
I guess in this case, obviously, you've got these defendants that have lured someone to a secluded location. Their intentions, you know, are what they were. But what would you maybe say to other people that maybe are trying, you know, teenagers or kids that maybe think, do you know what, we're going to expose this person, we think they've done something wrong and we're going to do this, what would you maybe suggest to them?
Yeah, this case is quite sad in a way, because what we've got here is if that group had not made contact with the victim in this case and had just thrown that business card away, we would not be in this position. They have taken it upon themselves to formulate some sort of plan and do what they did. There is a stark lesson in there, as sad as it is. We've got the lives of many families being ruined here. We've got the death of a 49-year-old male family in tatters. And then we've also got three other families of our defendants in this case. They're seeing their children being tried on suspicion of murder.
You mentioned there about obviously the really good member of public who obviously saw it, called the police, gave some really good descriptions and was able to kind of help in that case. You know, what would you say maybe about that if people come across something, you know, as a citizen, what can we do and what should we be doing?
I mean, we are so grateful to the public that provide that support and evidence for the police. It's something that everyone has to kind of decide if they're going to get involved and make an assessment at the time, and we're really grateful to the bravery of those individuals in this case, because it really, really helped us at a very, very early stage. So I think it's one that the great British public really, they're supporting their police force and they're supporting what they feel is right, and they certainly feel that was right to act at the time.
Alex was also able to speak to Senior Crown Prosecutor Natalie Smith.
Can you tell us a little bit about this case kind of from the CPS's point of view?
This was a complex case. The Kent Police Major Crime Department investigated the death of Mr. Cashford. They presented the case to us and we considered all the evidence, and on application of the full code test, we decided that there was sufficient evidence to charge three youth defendants with the murder of Mr. Cashford.
And obviously, I know in the case we had, you know, some good eyewitness accounts, a member of public that called up and kind of followed the defendants. You know, what would you maybe say to other members of the public that maybe come across something like this or an event that's taking place? What would you maybe ask them to do?
I think not only the police and the CPS were very grateful for the intervention of the members of the public, but I think it was comforting for the members of the family of Mr. Cashford to know that he didn't die alone, that there were members of the public that were prepared to intervene, notwithstanding the comments that the defendants were making at the scene. They were prepared to get involved and help him. So I think that's comforting. That's something that the police and the CPS are very grateful for, members of the public intervening in this way. And one witness was not only able to stop the attack from happening any further, he also was able to follow them in order to ensure that there was the continuity of the evidence and describe the youth, so that the police were able to then arrest them in the high street a few moments later.
And I know obviously you mentioned that this was, you know, quite a complex case. Can you explain why, maybe from the CPS point of view, it was quite complicated? You know, was there a lot of evidence? Was there a lot of research that needed to be, investigation that needed to be done?
So it was complex, involving youths and youths acting together in order to attack Mr. Cashford. The pathology evidence was also something that was complex, and it was a difficult investigation and involves the death of somebody.
The trio will be sentenced at a later date.
Kent Online News.
A jury is considering its verdict in the trial of a father and son accused of murdering a four-year-old boy in a hit and run in Southfleet. Peter Morne was killed when the vehicle he was in overturned in a collision on Ewburn Road last June. 54-year-old Patrick Morne, who was in a Ford Ranger, is on trial with his son Owen, who's 27. The pair from Hill Rise in Darrenth deny murder. A coroner's raised concerns about the training of healthcare staff and prison officers at a Kent jail following the death of an inmate. 34-year-old Josh Tarrant was on remand at HMP Elmley on Sheppey when he went into cardiac arrest in November 2023. Our reports found he was displaying classic signs of acute behavioural disturbance which weren't recognised. He'd also taken cocaine before being restrained by staff. Now, a teacher investigated for serious professional misconduct has been found to have acted inappropriately with pupils. James Coltella was an English teacher who had stints at Maidstone Grammar School, the Skinner School in Tunbridge Wells and the Tunbridge School. Lucy's been following this story for the podcast. She joins me now for some more details. First of all, Luce, what can you tell us about the allegations against James Coltella?
Well, Coltella has faced a Teaching Regulation Agency panel following allegations he made male pupils uncomfortable with physical contact. One student interviewed during an investigation launched by the Tunbridge School said he would touch their knee or have his hand on them and rub his thumb. This is something Coltella denied, saying he may have shaken the pupil's hand or given him a pat on the shoulder to say, well done.
And what about this suggestion that he'd made students recite inappropriate song lyrics?
Well, yes, the investigation also examined sessions where pupils were instructed to recite song lyrics to the teacher or to other students as part of a public speaking exercise. Evidence showed lyrics from a Charlie Puth song were used repeatedly, including references to sexual themes. Pupils told investigators they were expected to say the words sincerely and without laughing, with the teacher sometimes stepping in to demonstrate by standing very close and delivering the lyrics directly to them. Coltella did not dispute that pupils had been asked to recite lyrics, but says he did so to help the pupils to talk to each other in a soft, not coercive, but kind and loving manner. The case also highlighted repeated one-to-one meetings with pupils without additional safeguarding measures being put in place.
Ultimately, though, the panel found there wasn't enough evidence to prove he tried to progress towards an inappropriate relationship with any of these pupils. Is that right?
That's right. Although they did stress the conduct still fell below expected professional standards, the panel ruled the behaviour amounted to unacceptable professional conduct, as well as conduct that was likely to bring the teaching profession into disrepute. When considering their sanctions, they decided publishing the findings of the case was enough and decided against banning him from the profession. It's also worth noting when Coltella worked at the Skinner's School between 2011 and 2020, he faced allegations of 7 inappropriate behaviours, but these were found not proven.
And you've got a statement there from the Tunbridge School where he worked between 2020 and 2022.
Yes, a spokesperson for the school said, "We are grateful to the Teaching Regulation Agency for its careful consideration of this matter and acknowledge their decision that whilst Mr. Coltella's actions did not merit a prohibition order, they found his conduct may bring the profession into disrepute. As a school, we investigated concerns promptly and thoroughly when they arose, resulting in Mr. Coltella's departure from Tunbridge and proactively referred the matter to the TRA in line with our strict safeguarding procedures. Pupil welfare and safeguarding are at the heart of what we do and will continue to be treated with the utmost importance."
Thanks, Lucy. You can find out more about this story by heading to the homepage over on our website. A man's been left with facial injuries after being mugged by 2 teenage boys near Maidstone. He was attacked and had his phone stolen near a petrol station on Ashford Road in Bearstead yesterday. Police are investigating. A dispersal order is now in place for part of Sitting Board as part of a crackdown on antisocial behaviour. It covers areas around the town centre, including the retail park, railway station, Millway Skate Park and Albany Park Recreation Ground. It gives officers the power to move on anyone causing a nuisance. It's in place until 4pm tomorrow afternoon.
Kent Online News.
Bosses in Maidstone say they're working towards long-term change to address address violence against women and girls. It's after a survey suggested almost three quarters of residents think it's a very big concern. Hundreds of residents also reported being a victim of physical or sexual assault. Councillor David Nagy is in charge of community cohesion and safety. He and I were able to sit down for a chat.
Well, this is the idea of the surveys, to get the public's views, especially makes them better, people, because that's our top priority. I want all people to be safe in Maidstone, but especially women and girls. I want them to be safe, feel safe when they go out of an evening and not have to worry about things. But I'm afraid that's not what it's like at the moment out there. And the survey seems to be proving that.
What were some of the key aspects, I suppose, in the survey results that sort of sounded the biggest alarm bells?
Well, I'll just go through a few things. I mean, it's one of the most comprehensive local pictures we've had of violence against women and girls in Maidstone. And the scale of concern is quite stark, actually. Nearly three quarters of adults told us online that technical abuse is a major problem. Yet only 15% recognised it as violence. That gap is understanding and is deeply worrying, actually. People are changing how they live their lives to feel safe, from walking different routes to carrying different safety apps and whistles. And that should concern us all, actually. That life at the moment seems to be, you go out the door, do you feel safe? And it's what's powerful is not just the concern, but the response. Our citizen deliberation programme is fully subscribed because residents want to be part of the solution. And hopefully we will find some sort of solution. Obviously, we're not government, but in Maidstone Borough, we'll do our best to make sure everyone feeling safe, especially women and girls, when they go out. But by bringing people together, their lived experiences, young people's voices, professionals and charities, we're taking a joined up long-term approach to prevention and culture change, because I think that's basically one of the things is change, and the sooner the better.
So what is council doing? What can we do to reverse these statistics and help people feel safer on the streets?
Well, that's the idea of the survey. If we get what people thinking out there in our survey, and we've had a great response, we're covering all age groups, sexes and everyone. So we have got a wide cross-based public opinion when it's finished. So I think as it comes under me, that's one of my top priorities is girls against violence and women and girls is got to be a top priority. We can't go on like we are, you know. Has to change, and maybe this could be the stepping stone. I'm hoping the government will show interest in the survey, because I don't think anyone else is doing surveys like we're doing.
They're also launching workshops so residents can help shape how the borough responds to the survey. Police are hoping to reunite victims of crime with more than 60 suspected stolen tools seized in East Morling. The items were recovered after officers stopped a white transit van in Temple Way over the weekend. Two men from Brumley were arrested and released on bail. It's thought the goods are linked to burglaries across the southeast dating back several years. Now, figures just out show a slight drop in unemployment in Kent. 39,545 people were claiming out-of-work benefits in the county in December. That's down by 110 compared to the previous month. The owner of an Ashford cafe says he's worried for the future after the closure of a nearby shopping centre. The boss of By the Tank Cafe in New Street says trade has plummeted after a decision was made to shut Park Mall. He's blamed a lack of communication from council bosses and is fearful about the long-term future of the site. However, council bosses say figures show footfall in the town centre is up on last year, with a counter in Upper High Street revealing a year-on-year growth of 9.4%.
Kent Online News.
Bosses in Thanet are calling for transparency over a decision to permanently shut down Dreamland's scenic railway. The roller coaster, which dates back to 1920, was retired by the amusement park last month, sparking backlash. The leader of the district council is urging theme park bosses to engage openly, as it's in the public interest. There's a reminder to keep dogs on their leads in the countryside in Kent ahead of lambing season. Figures biggest show, farm animals worth a total of £330,000 were killed or injured in dog attacks here in the southeast last year. Insurance company NFU Mutual says not everyone realises the damage their pets can do, especially to younger livestock. Now, a lynx rescued from war-torn Ukraine is settling into her new home here in Kent. The Big Cat Sanctuary in Smarter near Ashford were able to raise £100,000 to bring Ursa to the UK. Cat Whitnell was part of the team that travelled to Kyiv. He says they were all pleased to bring her to her new home. He and I were able to catch up for a chat.
The rescue mission has gone incredibly well. I set off on Monday to meet our transport company that we worked with to go into Ukraine on Tuesday. And we stayed overnight. On the Wednesday, we managed to crate not only Ursa, but Mir, who's a tiger, who's gone to Belgium. And successfully crate them and get them on the way home. There was a couple of issues with customs. They were sadly stuck at the Krakowets border, getting out of Ukraine for 11 hours. But, you know, we made sure they were okay and they were doing well. And then, on our way to Belgium and then to the sanctuary. So we arrived with Ursa at, I think it was about 10 p.m. at night on Friday night. And she was brilliant. All the team were there ready and excited to meet her. She was so confident, considering the journey she's been on and what she's been through. When we opened up the doors at the back of the lorry just to check in on her, she was very communicative and talking a lot at us. And obviously our team fell in love with her straight away. So, yeah, we moved her straight to our temporary holding facility, and she went straight in, confident as anything. And she stayed there overnight, and she's just on a habituation plan at the minute, on her way to go outside for the first time in her life.
And you said, all things considered, she was pretty confident and pretty happy with her new surroundings when she arrived.
Yeah, she's incredibly confident. She loves people. she really likes people, which is great, because so she has no fear of us. She comes up to the fence, rubs up against it, is very chatty. So that's always a very good start. And now it's just working with her. We've got a very clear plan. We need to get her on a bit of a diet, so she needs to lose a little bit of weight. And then it's just going to be step by step, making sure that, you know, she's not too overwhelmed. You know, she's going to be experiencing things that she's never experienced before in her life. So in her temporary area at the minute, she's got a smaller side and then a bigger side. She's going to be in the smaller side for a little bit just to get used to the climbing structures, the trees, the bark, the leaves. And then she'll go into the bigger side, where she'll probably be able to explore. And then before July, before our Big Cat Fest, is when she'll hopefully move over to the new Small Cat Rescue Centre, which will be now a much bigger space for her to call her forever home with other rescued cats.
Work started to convert a former Kent primary school into housing. The building in Harrietsham dates back to the 1800s but has been empty for the last 20 years. It's now being turned into three new homes. A former royal aide who spent time in a Kent prison for murder is going to be the subject of a new four-part TV series. Jane Andrews worked for the Duchess of York, Sarah Ferguson, but was dismissed years before she was convicted of killing her partner in 2001. She served some of her sentence at East Sutton Park near Maidstone. ITV have made a new drama called The Lady, which will tell her story.
Kent Online News.
A Kent artist has been chosen to represent the UK at Eurovision. Sam Battle goes by the stage name Look Mum No Computer. He uses various machines to perform live electronic music and also runs a museum in Ramsgate. He says he can't wait to show the world what he's created. Events are taking place in Kent today to celebrate Shrove Tuesday. There'll be a pancake race on the beach at Westgate in Thanet later. Polehill Garden Centre in Sevenoaks is also running a special trail for families, and a cooking workshop is on at the Hub in Chatham. Topshop is making a return to Bluewater Shopping Centre. Their last store closed back in 2021 after the former owner collapsed into administration. The fashion brand will now appear in John Lewis branches across the UK. And a nesting box for a pair of peregrine falcons has been put on the roof of an iconic tower block in Margate. They were once considered endangered. danger due to declining numbers, but have made a comeback in recent years. Their box has been installed on Arlington House in the hopes it may lead to the arrival of chicks in the future.
Kent Online Sports.
Taking a look at football, and Gillingham will be looking to bounce back from Saturday's defeat to Crewe later. They were beaten 1-0 at the weekend and travel to take on Chesterfield tonight. Here's Jill's boss, Gareth Ainsworth. He spoke after the loss.
We look at ourselves and we are, all of us, you know, fans and me and everyone included, going, we should be winning every game. We should be. There's no reason for that. We've got to make these games count because we start running out of games, and I don't want to run out of games. I don't want to have to experiment at the end of the season and see who I can, you know. I want to go for it. I want my season to end at the end of May, not the end of April. And at the moment, we've got to start being better on defending set pieces, because 3 wins and a draw out of 6 games is good form. You know, 3 wins and 3 losses is average form, and you've just got to, you know, we've got to pick up. We have to pick up, and that means keeping clean sheets.
They're currently 14th in the table, while Chesterfield are up in 8th. Kickoff is at 7:45. If you missed it yesterday, Kent's Emma Raducanu has lost in the first round of the Dubai Tennis Championships. The British number one was beaten in straight sets by Croatia's Antonia Ruzic. She also suffered a first round exit at the Qatar Open last week when she retired from her match against Camila Osorio. An RNLI volunteer has completed the Deal Half Marathon wearing full lifeboat kit. Dan Sinclair teamed up with his friend Nathan Siddons for the race on Sunday. They finished in 2 hours and 15 minutes and raised £1,400 for the charity. And Kent's best paddle club has been revealed. The sport has seen a huge surge in popularity, which has seen courts and facilities pop up all over the county. The Lawn Tennis Association Kent says the best place for a game is Play Paddle Club in Victoria Park in Deal. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.